This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You get one option, one do-over. Do you want McCoy and Poe, or do you want Collins and Quinn? The Cowboys have beefed up their defensive line, especially their tackles in the middle, and they added some very good NFL players. I think Mike may agree with me that what they had in the middle last year, aside from really adding Michael Bennett late, wasn't quality NFL starters at the defensive tackle positions. And Mike McCarthy said, if we're going to do this thing, we got to do it a little bit differently. And Mike Nolan said, let's go get these guys. I feel like we can work strongly with them. So they've added Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe in the middle. Or would you have rather had Malik Collins and Quinn on the outside for the production that Quinn gave you as a pass rusher? 877-881-1053. Text in right now, Mike.
Okay. It's a loaded question just because there's salary and stuff in it. So if I answer the question in the basic general question, who would I rather have? Just because it went so bad last year for the Dallas Cowboys, I'll take the different two guys and see what they can do with DeMarcus Lawrence. But, gosh, I can see the other side of it. I hate Quinn's contract. I think that's a horrible contract for the Chicago Bears. I can see going Collins and Quinn, except if we do that and then we just have to put spare Shlomo McGee next to Collins, then we're going to get crushed again. Anytime anybody wants to take advantage of us in any run situation or anything up the middle, we're going to be arguably the worst in all of football, because I think we were the worst in all of football when it came to defensive tackle situation last year. So that's why I'll choose this one, even though I can see the other side of it.
See, I thought this would be a runaway that people would say, I wish we could go back, because while I think that, you know, McCoy or Poe would be, and I know the position wise, like you're not exactly asking for or looking for the exact same things, is McCoy or Poe, I could see how you would want to say that those were upgrades over Collins, but I also think it's a pretty sizable downgrade. Their production last year versus Quinn's production last year. So
true.
I would definitely go with Quinn and Collins over Poe and McCoy. And that's why I'm fascinated every time we talk about, like Corey just said, the Cowboys beefed up their defensive line. Like I think their defensive line definitely gotten worse. Mm. And so that's why I was fascinated by this question.
Okay. I don't. And I think you made Tank better. That's the reason that like I really like the additions you've made there in the middle, because Kevin, you can't just slide another guy now on Tank because of what you have to deal with in the middle.
What makes you say that though? Because like people point out the defensive statistics is that these guys were on the worst rushing defense, and okay. So
yeah,
that's my concern.
I think that they're better than they played last year.
Okay.
Then maybe that's just me being hopeful. And you know what? I'll give a lot of credit to change is more important in the offseason than anything else, right? Like and Kevin, you're saying you're seeing it on the fan text right now. For most fan bases, it's not really about who it is. It's just about the simple fact that you make a change. And once we've done that, then everybody's like, oh, okay, well, obviously this person will be better than that, because whatever we had before wasn't good enough. And I personally didn't think Malik Collins was good enough last year. You can throw numbers at me all day. also watch a number of times where he got thrown down on the ground or just fell down on the ground. I saw Tristan Hill slide backwards a number of times. What they had in the middle just wasn't NFL quality last year for me. Now, you can say Gerald McCoy and Poe were bad in the middle too. I don't know exactly what their situation was, why. So we'll have to see for that too. But I do think that what you have there allows the opponents to not just double team or even triple team Tank Lawrence. I think you're going to have to deal with these guys in the middle too. And maybe there was something with the Panthers where they weren't getting enough pressure from the outside because of what was going on, and that affected what was going on in the middle too.
From the 817, I'm going to go Poe and McCoy. Everyone knows these two and respects the names. We'll get back to that because that is a thing that worries me, because I know sometimes the Cowboys get more enamored with the name than the play. The other two were a wash. From the 425, Poe and McCoy, because I believe it helps Smith and Vander Esch. So there's another.
I agree with that.
From the 832, boys are better on defensive line today than they were. From the 210, I'd rather have McCoy and Poe in the middle. We didn't get far on defense with Quinn and Collins. And see, that's the interesting aspect of it to me. Like, I'm not here to dispute that they can play better or anything like that, but I always find it fascinating when your team goes nowhere, so it's time to move on. But the other team that went nowhere, we will take those players because they didn't go nowhere with our team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an interesting dynamic where the Cowboys were bad on defense last year, so we need to move on. But the Panthers, who are the worst at this part of defense, we will take their people and we'll figure it out. Like, well, that's an interesting dynamic.
I will point out, somebody just, and I'm not a pro football focused guy. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but they say if you're a PFF guy, it should be noted that those two had the highest grades on the Carolina defense. So even if it was worse, maybe everything that else
they were the best of the worst. Let's go.
Well, maybe, but that's why they were as bad as they were, because the rest of the defense was so bad around them it brought them down too. It didn't help them excel. I'm hopeful that the secondary helps the defensive line. Even though you lost Byron Jones, that's another thing. But you got to be able to figure out how to get more pressure, distractive pressure up the middle, because you weren't getting it. Seriously, go back and watch. You were not getting enough of it up the middle last year, and that's what allowed quarterbacks to do pretty much whatever they wanted to you, and it allowed the running game to do whatever it wanted to you and stay on the field. When third down comes up and you can't get to a quarterback at all, at least make him uncomfortable, then you have lots of problems.
From the 817, Poe and McCoy, big bodies that get more pressure. Our old philosophy was similar to get pressure, but it didn't translate. Look, if Poe and McCoy are consistently disrupting the line of scrimmage, even if it doesn't, like, let's just say it doesn't always mean a pressure or quarterback hit, but it also means, like, maybe you're busting up the line of scrimmage to shut down a run play earlier than you normally would, then I'm all about that. I agree. Like, I don't need the sack to be the end. Okay. To be the end all. Yeah, I know. To be the end all be all of the statistics. If you're consistently winning the line of scrimmage, then this is absolutely going to be a victory to what Corey said, helping out Tank, to what some of the texters said, helping out the linebackers, and then obviously swinging back around, it could help the defensive back. So if you're consistently winning the line of scrimmage, it's going to be great.
I can see everybody's points here being valid, because we could get to week 5 or 6 of the season and go, man, I didn't think it could get worse, but it's worse. And we could get to week 5 or 6 of the season and say, wow, it's amazing what bigger guys in the middle can do for the rest of the team, what they can do for the linebackers, what they could possibly do for the defensive ends. And we could say, man, this is an above average defense. So I can see both sides of this argument, which makes it really tough right now to say definitely this, or no, we've made major mistakes in doing what we've done this offseason with the defensive line. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know if it's going to be – the tough thing is I bet we are going to have issues with the defensive line. They just might be different issues with the defensive line. I don't think this can be a good defensive line. I'm just hoping it can be better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, based on – and Mike, I kind of got really excited after I went back and watched some of the things that I saw Mike Nolan do, because he didn't – there was nothing that was really base. You know, there was not a, hey, we're just a 4-3 defense or we're just a 3-4 defense. There was a lot of flexibility, but a lot of it had to do with some of the teams that I was watching him work with had great linebackers. And that might be the big key here is because you look last year with the Saints – what he was able to do with their linebackers, and all the players said that's the best linebackers coach I've ever had. And they were, like, you go back and watch their playoff game, they were the unit that was playing the best. They were at the highest level last year during that, I think it was the Vikings. Dalvin Cook struggled against them last year. So whenever I go back and kind of watch some of the ways that he's tried to do things, it's never really been, you know, our biggest problem was we're going to line up and go. And they did a lot of disguising in order to change things, but they had a lot of dynamic athletes at the linebacker position too. And obviously with Jalen Smith, that's a little bit different because as dynamic as he is running forward, side to side and backwards is not his his forte. So I really see the capability of doing a lot of different things, but I agree with you. I don't know that it's going to be that much better because I don't know exactly what his plans are and how the secondary is going to respond to what they have there. So I like the fact that they got veteran players, Kevin, because veteran players for me in these types of situations mean they have the knowledge that goes along with it. But I know where you are on that because a lot of times if they bounce to a couple teams, why did they get bounced out? Why did they have to leave? Why wouldn't a team want to keep those players?
Sometimes the monetary thing answers that, but you're right. There's other times I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
It seems like this person was right in the prime of their career, and you're like, bah, I'm good.
Yeah, that's very Mickey Spagnuolo of you, too.
Whoa! Is it? I guess we'll find out. So I wanted to take this opportunity just real quick, because we had the pseudo-breaking news, we'll say, about the potential for the Miami Dolphins to trade for the number one pick. By the way, I have put together an exercise for tomorrow's show that I think you guys are going to freaking love about trading for the number one draft pick. But we didn't get to tell you a couple of the other NBA storylines. I wanted to throw those out to you and then get to the worst idea. So the other two is shutting down the potential next championship run of LeBron James and the potentially historical run of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks were on pace to have the third 70th win season ever. They were outscoring people by an average of 11.3 points, and this would be their first Eastern Conference championship since 1974.
Wow.
So those are the other two things that potentially are getting shut down if you don't pick back up the rest of the NBA regular season. But what do you think about this? Because this seems like the worst idea is Jay Williams, noted Duke alum, mm-hmm. and noted
motorcyclist enthusiast.
Yeah.
What about those videos that he
okay,
did?
Relax. It's a family show, but yes, I know what you're talking about. And of course I do. He made a suggestion about how to play the playoffs because people are like, well, I don't know. We probably shouldn't have fans in an arena and everything like that. This is honestly what Jay Williams said. You have an Eastern Conference cruise ship and a Western Conference cruise ship, and you have the championship games and series on a cruise ship, and then the NBA Finals on a cruise ship.
While in the ocean and going through some rough waves, so it makes it even more fun to watch as guys are losing their balance just walking the ball up the court.
Also,
no, they're anchored. They're anchored down.
Okay,
they're
fine.
No, I want them to be cruising.
Even then, does he not know how this whole thing got even worse?
You can't clean a cruise ship right now, all right? Like, there are cruise ships right now. There is a cruise ship out there with four dead bodies on it roaming aimlessly for the last 4 months. Yes, because they don't have a clue what they're doing. Yeah, there's cruise ships out there that are just saying, we don't know where we're supposed to be going. We don't know what our final destination is right now. And there are people stuck on those ships that are holding up signs begging for help, begging for somebody to come helicopter them off of those things so that they can finally get home. But they are quarantined on a ship. That is the worst way they've handled this whole situation is you just stay out at sea and maybe you'll make it out of this thing alive. You can't clean those things either. There are ships that have been sitting docked for 3 weeks that they're still finding coronavirus all over the place inside of those ships, even though they've been cleaned. So I don't think this is a good idea, Jay.
Now we're going to have the NBA Finals there.
What happens at the end of quarters when you have to throw like a baseball pass to try to shoot the ball or a long half-court shot and you miss the backboard and then it goes off the cruise ship into the ocean?
Okay,
and
we only have one ball. We don't have more than one basketball?
Nope, we only have one ball.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yep. You know what? New rule. Because, well, then I guess you would just
whoever
chuck
shoots
it off the
it
ship.
Has to go get it. They have to jump off the cruise ship into the ocean and get the basketball.
See, I thought you were going to say then the game's over and you win, but then you'd score the first basket, make a steal, and just chuck the ball off the cruise ship. And you're like, the Golden State Warriors continue their controversial run to the finals as they keep winning games 2-0.
Are they a super team?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.